Part of what's fun about architecture and things like that is you know, the orientation of things is significant and important, right? So you do research into the winter solstice and you find that Stonehenge, right, was designed and set up to face the most prominent and important stone in Stonehenge faces the sun either as it rises or as it sets on the winter solstice, right? And so we all know now that our church is situated and its architecture is set such that at 9 o'clock on the Sunday after the winter solstice, the sun is streaming straight in from that window right there, hitting the pastor dead on in the face. So. Our church faces south and north, right, which is not at all significant, right? The significant or the sort of thoughtful way that churches are built is where the east wall or the front wall is the east-facing wall of the church, so that the congregation, right, is sitting and is ready for Christ's light, for his return to come like the rising of the morning star, the sun as it rises, right? There's this prophecy that Christ will come like the rising sun. And so a lot of churches are set with the congregation facing east as a sign of hopefulness of Christ's coming and his return. But this is not the sermon that I have prepared for this morning, so we'll... Our scripture passage for this morning comes from select verses from Isaiah chapter 7. Listen now for God's holy word. In the days of King Ahaz of Judah, King Rezin of Aram and King Pekah of Ephraim went up to attack Jerusalem, but they could not mount an attack against it. Then the Lord said to the prophet Isaiah, "Go and meet King Ahaz of Judah at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field, and say to him, 'Take heed, keep calm, do not be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, because they have plotted against you, saying, "Let us go up against Judah and cut off Jerusalem and conquer it for ourselves." Therefore, thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, and it shall not come to pass. Again, the Lord said to King Ahaz of Judah, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as the heaven. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. God is with us. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring on you and your people and your ancestral house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah." People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. Our scripture passage for this morning is about the fear of King Ahaz of Judah. King Ahaz of Judah is in great fear. He is worried. He is a troubled king. He is the king of Judah, its capital in Jerusalem, the land of Israel. And he has experienced something that has filled his heart, his life, with fear and dread. He is dreading what will come the next day, or perhaps the day after that, or he's not sure when it will come, but he is full of fear. Two of his enemies, two nations to the north of him, have made an alliance together, and they have already made an attempt at conquering his land and his kingdom. They have mounted an attack against his capital city in Jerusalem, and it hasn't been successful. It didn't work. But King Ahaz of Judah is terrified that they will do it again, and perhaps with a greater force and with more power and a greater army, and that they will be successful. And Ahaz is terrified. He is terrified that destruction is coming. He is terrified that he will be a failure as a king.
Right?
A failure as a king. The kings of Israel were anointed to be kings, and their role was to protect the land and to protect the people in the land.
Right?
Their role was to make sure that life in the kingdom of Israel would flourish and be good.
Right?
And conquering armies, of course, they bring destruction and chaos, and they ruin the things that the kings are responsible to care for and to help make go well.
Right?
And so the kings of Israel, their job is to protect their kingdoms. Their job is to help the people live good lives, to give them laws, and to give them justice so that the things will go well in the kingdom. Their job as king is to raise an army and to protect the land. Their role as king is to protect religion in the country, in the nation, to make sure that the temple is doing well, to make sure that the priests are giving people an opportunity to pray and to worship God and to keep their connection alive with God. And so Ahaz has much to fear. He is worried that his enemies will come and they will conquer his land and they will destroy his people and they will take the riches of the kingdom and they might even destroy or desecrate the temple in Jerusalem. This is a real fear. It's a legitimate fear, for not only are these two kingdoms to his north already united against Jerusalem, but Ahaz has been hearing reports that the nation of Assyria is growing and they are on the move. And the Assyrians are no joke. Okay. One of the biblical scholars that I really enjoy his writing and his work, he calls the Assyrians at this time when King Ahaz was ruling in Judah, he says that they are like the Klingons of the ancient Near East, right? Klingons being from Star Trek, right? This nation of warriors. Their culture is all about, you know, warriorhood, you know, violence and aggression and strength and weapons and violence and killing, right? The Assyrians are like the Klingons. They are a nation of warriors, and they are terrible warriors. And when they conquer a people, they do terrible things to that people. And Ahaz is just terrified that this is going to happen to him and to his people and to his nation that he is charged and anointed to take care of. Right? And he fears that it will happen soon, perhaps tomorrow or the next day, or he is not sure, but he thinks it's going to happen soon. And when we find Ahaz in our passage, we find him in a situation of fear. It's convoluted and hard to hear the first time. So it says that God sent Isaiah, the prophet, God's messenger. God sent this messenger to Ahaz while he was at the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field. What does that mean? Ahaz is looking at one of the water sources for the city of Jerusalem. He's looking at one of the water sources that feeds water into the city, a place where his enemies would come and they could cut off the water to the city and put it under siege, you know, and cause a lot of trouble. And so Ahaz is in this situation of fear. And God sends the prophet Isaiah to Ahaz with some commands and some amazing promises, and with a sign. So the command is that Ahaz should be calm and to not lose heart, right? In this situation of great fear, God sends Isaiah and says, be calm. Be calm. Do not lose heart, right? And Ahaz must be thinking, what do you mean, be calm? My enemies are pressing in all around me. Right? And then Isaiah gives the promise from God, the promises from God. And they are amazing promises, so amazing that they are extremely difficult for the king to listen to and to believe. Right? Isaiah comes with these promises from God, and the promise is that Ahaz has nothing to fear, that the things that he is worried about will not come to pass. Right? It's an amazing promise, and it just comes out of nowhere, right? Ahaz is looking at the socio-political international situation all around him, and he feels like he has reason to fear. And God comes to him with a promise and simply says, the things that you are worried about will not come to pass. Trust in God and do not fear. Be calm and do not lose heart. The thing that you are fearing, that your enemies will come and overtake you, that your enemies will come and destroy everything that is important to you, do not fear, do not lose heart, but instead be calm, be at peace in the midst of this great trouble. It's an amazing promise, one that is very, very difficult for the king to accept and to listen to. Isaiah has more. Isaiah has more from God. In addition to these commandments to be calm and this promise that this thing will not happen that Ahaz is fearing, Isaiah comes with a sign, a tangible, physical reminder of the promise that God has made to him. Right? This is how we understand our God as well. God gives us promises, and then God gives us tangible signs that reflect those promises and help us to accept and understand those promises. It's how we understand communion, that we hear God's promise. God loves you. God cares for you. God will always be with you. And then communion is our tangible reminder of those promises. Isaiah comes with a tangible reminder of the promises of God. Isaiah says, you fear that your enemies will come and destroy you tomorrow. God says, you have time, that you do not need to fear this impending doom. And Isaiah says, look, a young woman, a virgin, a maiden will conceive and she will bear a son. You have time. You're worried that everything will be destroyed, but you have time. How much time do you have? How much time does it take for a young woman to conceive and to give birth? 9 months. 9 months. Isaiah says, you're worried about tomorrow? Don't. God's saying you have 9 months. And more than that, Isaiah says, not only do you have 9 months, but you have until this child knows the difference and is able to choose between right and wrong. How long has it taken for your children to figure out the difference? Who here has the oldest kids? Bud and Hildy, how old is your oldest? 61. Does he know the difference between right and wrong? Can he choose the... Yeah, okay. It's a joke. Haha. In Isaiah's day, it was probably... We call this the age of accountability, right? When young people are able to know the difference between right and wrong and to choose for themselves between right and wrong. And in Isaiah's day, that was probably 10, 11, 12, right? About the same time when we start thinking about confirmation for our kids, right? So Isaiah and God are saying to King Ahaz, you are worried that tomorrow someone is going to come and cut the waterway to Jerusalem and siege your city and bring on this destruction, and you do not need to worry. Trust in God. Be calm. Do not lose heart. You have 9 months. And not only do you have 9 months, but you have a decade. You have 10 years before there's anything that you need to fear. Right? And more than that, Isaiah says, this child will eat curds and honey. You fear destruction and desolation and that things will go terrible for you and your nation, but this child who will be born and will grow, right? He will have stability enough to grow. And not only that, but he will eat curds and honey, the food of blessedness, the food of prosperity, the food of flourishing. When God promised the people the land of Israel, God said the land will flow with milk and honey. It was a symbol of the richness of the land and the flourishing that would be there in that place of promise. God is saying to Ahaz, you are in a situation of fear where you dread tomorrow, but I am saying that you have 10 years or more, and in that time, there will not be destruction, but there will be flourishing. That there will be flourishing. This child who will be born, this child who will live there in the kingdom with Ahaz, his name will be Emmanuel, Emmanuel, a name which literally translates to God with us. God is with us. And so Isaiah is saying, look, Ahaz, as you sit in your king's chair, and as you look out the window, and as you wonder and you fear what is coming in the future, as you fear what your enemies may do, as you worry about this, that, and the other thing, God is going to send this child past your window from time to time. You will pass him in the grocery store. You will see him at the temple during worship, and you will have to say, hello there, Emmanuel. Hello there, God is with us. And in that time of fear and worry, you will be reminded that you are not alone, that God is with us, that God is with you. When our gospel writers were doing their best to package the story of Jesus Christ for us in the gospels, they looked back to this prophecy from the prophet Isaiah of a baby who would be born named Emmanuel, God with us, a tangible sign of the promises of God. And they said, yes, this is like Jesus. He is the bringer of the promises of God, and he is the physical, the tangible sign of those promises, the reminder that God is with us. We are all at times like King Ahaz. We all have responsibilities in our lives. We all have hopes and dreams for the future of us and our people. We have dreams and hopes and fears about the life of our temple in Jerusalem, right? Our church, right? And we look ahead to the future and we worry, what is going to happen? Are we slated for destruction? Will our enemies come? And will they prevail over us? And Jesus comes with the same promise that Isaiah came to King Ahaz, the promise that God will be with us. And because God will be with us, we have nothing to fear, for God will not allow our enemies to bring the destruction that we fear. What is it that we fear? What is it that we fear in our lives? What are your worries and your concerns? What is it that keeps you up at night? Are you concerned that these things will bring about your end and your destruction and the destruction of the things that you love? The promise of the gospel is that God's desire for us is not destruction and condemnation, but that God's desire for us is that we would grow and that we would live and that we would flourish and that we would eat the food of flourishing. Curds and honey. The promise of the gospel is that God's love for us is the strongest and most powerful thing in this world. And that because of that strong and powerful love, our enemies, the forces of evil, the darkness of the night will not be able to overcome God's light here in this world. Christ came and he faced sin. Christ came and he faced darkness and evil and wickedness and everything that the world and the forces of evil could throw at God's plans and God's promises. And Christ overcame. He overcame. And so in our lives, God sends us this Emmanuel, this child born who is here to remind us that in all things, God is with us. King Ahaz did a terrible job of trusting in God. God gave him all of these great promises through the prophet Isaiah. God gave him this promised child, Emmanuel, who would be there to remind him that God is with us. God promised that you have not only a day where you don't have to worry, you have 10 whole years, 13 years even, 61 years to worry, to not worry. Don't worry. Trust in God. Be calm. Be at peace. Ahaz did a terrible job. He made a treaty with the Assyrians, essentially selling off his kingdom in order to avoid the destruction that he feared. Our job, the difficult job of faith, is to trust in God's promises. But even in that, God tells us that God will help us through the power of the Holy Spirit to trust in the promise. Trust in God's promise. God is with us. Amen.